passion of your sacrifice. Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1 says this, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Song of Songs. Solomon had written more than 3,000 proverbs and 1,005, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 4. He's written 1,005 songs, and out of the 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs, much of it was, of course, lost in history, but the ones that God preserved are in your Bible. But Solomon, for Solomon's opinion concerning this particular song, and was that this was the greatest song that he had ever written. This was the song of all songs. This was the greatest one in his estimation. And it's about a song, of course, regarding a king and a peasant girl. It's a romantic little song. Romantico. And it's about a peasant girl and her king. And, of course, it parallels for us the relationship that we have with our king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we see this as an individual, or we look at the peasant girl as the church as a whole, as the bride of Christ, it parallels much of the illustrations and the symbols and the information we have parallels the relationship of Christ with his bride. The young girl, she came from a town called Shunem. A very interesting place. It was when David was dying. If you remember, when King David was dying, they wanted the most beautiful woman in the country to come and serve him during that last hours. And so they did a beauty contest all throughout the country, and they found that the most beautiful women were in Shunem. And which, of course, personally, I think that the ladies in this church come from that town, too. You know, that's very beautiful women we have here. Everybody agrees, I'm sure, or better agree. But she came from that, and in fact, many think that the lady that they found for David was, in fact, her name was Abishag. And they think perhaps very much that the Shunammite woman in this Song of Solomon is, in fact, that lady. That's how Solomon got to know her, because she was tending to his dad at his deathbed. And so the song begins with her realization that although she knew that he loved his people, in other words, she knew that the king loved his people, She could say, along with everyone else in Israel, the king loves us. We are his people. We are the Israelites, and our king loves us. He cares for us. And she could say that in a general sense, as everyone else could say. But she desired it to become more personal and more intimate. She wanted to go beyond the generalization of saying, well, I know my king loves me. But I wanted to become personal and intimate with him. A person could say that. In Christianity, you could say, well, I know God loves me. And I know God loves everybody in this room. I know God loves the whole world. He sent his son to die for them. But then we go beyond that and we say, but I want that love he has for me to become more personal and more intimate as we grow older in the Lord. We want it to become something that's very, very special. And not just a generalization, but something more intimate. And so her prayer is, and her desire is in verse 2, she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Of course, you know what that means in terms of the natural man. But then, spiritually speaking, the kisses of his mouth would be that which proceeds forth from his mouth, which is, of course, his word. These would be verbal kisses for you and I, because he's not physically here for us to kiss in the flesh. But he does kiss us in the sense that that which proceeds out of his mouth is a blessing to us and does help us to become more intimate with him. And she makes the comment in verse 2 that his love is better than wine. Men turn to wine to relax themselves, to refresh themselves, to give them a feeling of well-being, to produce some sense of happiness and joy in their life. It's an artificial chemical reaction with the alcohol that's in the wine to produce a sense of happiness within the person. And she's saying that the love of God, the intimate, precious love of her king for her, she knows is much better, much greater than anything the world can produce, any artificial means of happiness, any artificial means of joy and well-being, that his love is better than that. His love is permanent. The wine is only temporary. You wake up the next day with a headache, and those feelings are gone until the next time you hit the wine again. But that's a temporary fix that men turn to at the end of a week or whatever. But she knows that his love is better than that. It goes far, far beyond that which is just human. And so her desire is that she be kissed, and that kiss would be an expression of his love for her. The kiss would be an expression of love to her, just as a kiss is today when you kiss whoever you kiss, whether you kiss your mother, your dog, your husband, whatever, is an expression of love. So the expression of love that's found in the kiss, of course, the believer wants to receive that from his Lord, from his King. You and I both want to receive that from our King Jesus Christ, and we want him to express his love to us in many different ways that he does. Of course, the first thing that he expressed his love to us in was in the gospel. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has kissed us with the gospel. He's kissed us with his word. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of his word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple-minded. And the simple-minded would be us. Because prior to our salvation, we were pretty simple. But the entrance of his word gives light, so his word comes in and illuminates or enlightens us in Ephesians 1:18. And then through the word, as we begin to, you're a brand new believer, you just got your good news for modern man, you just got your first Bible, and you start reading the Gospels, and you begin to see that God loved the world. And then number two, that he sent somebody into the world to save us, namely his son Jesus. And then it goes on and tells us what those accomplishments were of Christ, how he lived and lived a perfect life here on earth and never failed the Father's will, not even once, and qualified to be the substitute for your sins and for mine because he didn't deserve any penalty on his own account. And then the Bible then begins to tell us what the benefits of our salvation are. Then we begin to learn what is truth, and we begin to see what is false. And on it goes. The Bible gives us an amazing education. The entrance of his words give light, as the Lord himself kisses us with his words and gives us and imparts to us an expression of his love, namely the truth concerning all that he's done for us. Through his word, we gain in wisdom. Wisdom is multiplied in us. We gain wisdom And wisdom is the ability to make decisions, to know what to do, to do the right thing, to do the thing that honors God. Wisdom is knowing what to do in life. And then always, wisdom also knows where it stands, even at its worst time of failure. Even in the day that you failed the worst, wisdom tells you where you stand with God. You can go to your Bible in Psalm 37, 24, and read, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him with his hand." So I know that even if I fall, that I won't be utterly cast down. I won't lose my salvation. He upholds me in his hand. So I have that little nugget of wisdom. That is a kiss from my Savior to me, an expression of his love, what he's done for me. Neglect the word, and hey, maybe some of us have done that in our lifetimes, that we've neglected the word. When you do that, you become weak, spiritually weak, and eventually you become very inaccurate in your viewpoint of life. You stop seeing things as God sees it. You stop having a biblical perspective on life. You get a very carnal, earthly perspective on life because you're neglecting the word. You've gotten away from the word. You and your Bible are going through a separation, and you haven't been back to the book for a long time. And eventually, when that happens with believers, they become extremely weak, and they open themselves up to deception and distraction, and destruction of their walk with God. So that it's never valuable to us to neglect the word. People take vacations, but then we come back and we get back to it again. Because we know that we live by every word of God. And that means that we receive life through every word of God. Life is given to us. It's imparted to us through his word. He kisses us through the word of God. And it's a beautiful thing to have that expression of love given to us, because that draws us into a more intimate and a more personal walk with him. It's not generalities. It's not abstract. It's personal, because his word touches us in an amazing way. So then we have the next thing that we could say is that God also kisses us with the pastor teacher. And he gives us a gift. Whether you're in this church or any church that God leads you to go to, if God has raised up a man to be the pastor of the church, then that pastor is a gift from God. And that's Ephesians 4:11. He is a gift from God. He's nothing in himself, but God has raised him up, and he is a gift from God to the church. And he is the Holy Spirit's chief communicator to that congregation. I mean, the Lord will speak to you in many different ways, but the chief communicator to the congregation will be the pastor-teacher, Revelation 2 and verse 7. We see the progression there, that Jesus had something to say to the church. The Holy Spirit took the message and gave it to the pastor. The pastor related it to his congregation. That's how it works. So he is the chief communicator. That's why he is a gift to the church. The church gathers together to hear what the Lord has put on the pastor's heart for that service.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Attention homeowners, do you feel frustrated about not being able to sell your home? Are you worried because you're about to be transferred, or have you recently